You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a good weekend. Had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course if it wasn't, and you know it had to be done, it must be done, then you got it done. That's right. Go ahead and do it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at Time for an Awakening. Top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. There will be programs that are dated and titled. But also, you can use the shortcut, any search engine that you use, you know, Google, Firefox, whatever, you know, put in the search. BabaOshi.net, Baba, B-A-B-A, Oshi, O-S-H-I.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And then we have Time for an Awakening on Friday from 8 p.m. until, and then on Sunday at 7 p.m. until. And they had the Pan-African Federalist Movement on last night. Forgot to listen. Sure did. I wanted to hear, too. So maybe Mama Nabantu can listen and she can tell me how things went. And we need to have them on this program. We had them scheduled on an ongoing basis, but schedule got mixed up because of me being out of town like I am. So, but I'll be with you for a while. But I want to thank my brother, Irv Lewis, for an outstanding job sitting in for me. I really appreciate it. And look forward to talking with him soon. And co-hosting once again, on collaborating on some things, and as well as him hosting on his own, because he can do it. Brother's good. Brother Irv Lewis, man, I'm telling you. Good conversation, especially this past Friday. Great program. Great program. So those are the programs that are on, of course. The number to dial is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. So, We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba, he has returned from Ghana, his trip in Ghana. Trying to get him on the horn soon. Talk about other upcoming trips that he has lined up. And talk about how things went in Ghana. And, of course, you can contact Brother Bamani at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. Brothers and sisters, everything you need, even though you may not want to go on one of his tours, maybe you have something set up, but you need the information, you need the visa, you need the shots, you need all of those things. Everything is on the website there for you. You don't have to take one of his tours, but some of them are really good. He's got, you know, Tanzania coming up, Azania, Liberia, Ghana again, Kemet, Senegal and Gambia. All kinds of good stuff on that website, brothers and sisters. Check it out. AfricaForTheAfrican.org. Habesha. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Of course, they have a program coming up in this month, June 24th, from noon to 8 p.m. The Organic Fest, 4477 Windsor Street here in Atlanta. Organic Fest, that will be garden tours and workshops, a children's corner, a Kumba children's corner, holistic food and vendors and live entertainment. That's going to be June 24th, Organic Fest. All right, family. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics, the LEDGE Group. They have 12 projects in six different African countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. In fact, as I've said many times, you know, membership has its privileges, and you have the opportunity to, if you are a member, to purchase land at $250 an acre. I ain't talking about, you know, some garbage. You know, you look at my brother, Duyemi, who moved to Ghana. Excuse me, who moved to Tanzania. He has land that overlooks Mount Kilimanjaro. I'm telling you, it's beautiful, you know. So, yeah, the LEDGE Group. And, of course, they deal with the four areas of human necessity, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Become a member of the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Abibia Tumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. AbibiaTumi.com. They have their conference coming up in July. And the Power Conference, dealing with education, military, industrial, economic, agricultural, technology, family, community, nation, the Black Power. The Power Conference, I say African Power Conference, July 7th through the 9th. July 7th through the 9th. It's going to be in Ghana, but it'll be streamed. It's going to be beautiful. Yep. Smy Pharmacy. S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. Smy Pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, contact Brother Jabril at 770-765-7751. 760-765-7751. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be more holistic, more healthy, then you should give him a call. He'll have a program for you. Get you off those prescription meds. All right. The Moses West Foundation, family. The Moses West Foundation provides clean water and safe drinking water to communities worldwide through sustainable missions. He is a veteran and a so-called minority-owned nonprofit organization. We're dedicated to making a lasting impact on the global water crisis with our innovative atmospheric water generator, the AWG atmospheric water generator technology. We address disaster impact zones, water scarcity, and water rescue. Your contribution helps us fulfill our mission to improve access to clean water. Support us today and help change the world. Every penny goes to providing the ability to do that. He is not looking for investors. He's looking for donations to build more AWGs, put them in the right places. The problem is there's no problem with water. There's water all around. It's access to water.
water all in the atmosphere. That's what the AWG does. It takes the water molecules out of the atmosphere, condenses them, go through a filterization cleansing process, and you open up the tap and bam, clean water, 24/7, 365. The machines operate on solar energy, so they can operate and store the electricity, so they can operate 24/7, 365. That's right, they're in Jackson, Mississippi. They were in Flint, Michigan, but unfortunately that situation kind of fell through. But that's the story. That's right. We'll talk more about Moses West and what he's doing, you know. Yeah. They've generated over 4.5 million liters of water. That's right. Okay. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Oh, no, let me go to Wadada's. Let me keep my usual rotation, yeah. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. I know on weekends, Saturday and Sunday, they still serve vegan dishes. That's right. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, who does all kinds of beautiful things. Her bookstore is bumping. I'm telling you, she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. That is east of here. You jump on I-20 going east, exit 74, make a left. Now you're traveling north, and about a mile, you get to Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar on your left. Brother Gazemde Ajamu, fine selection of books. I got my shoes, family. That's right. I got my Nat Turners. That's right. I'm a happy camper. Yeah. So give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back on I-20 going east. The next exit is 75. Turner Hill Road, make a right. Three lights, make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yep. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in our Thursday night broadcast. Every Thursday night, brothers and sisters, on blogtalkradio.com. You can go online to blogtalkradio.com/ULU/ULU. And then also do from 9 to 10, you can give them a call. That's right. You can call. And to call to listen, you can call to give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us. Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, as we like to say, family-centered economics. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. He's not open on Mondays, but he's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Contact Brother Jabija, Brother Abija at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. If you are in the Macon area, please stop in at 2910 Napier Avenue. You will not be disappointed. He has so much to offer. This cat's got it going on. Yes, sir. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right. My good sister, Shelly Hammonset, at 404. 404-734-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Sanjay-Iet, Sister Gabby is doing just great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, dealing with our children. They look beautiful. They have uniforms on, dealing with education, health care, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship. Because, once again, they don't get anything from the government. It's dysfunction. So they rely on brothers and sisters like us. So consider, go online to Sanjay, Sonjay-Iet.org. Sonjay-Iet.org. All right. Baba Barudi and Mama Ya, I'm not sure what they got coming up. I got to go back in my archives and look. I should have did that earlier. But, you know, I always promote Akabin Institute, Akabin House. If you want to check out the book, go to Akabin House. If you want to check out the many books that Baba Barudi has written. If you want to give a cash donation, if you want to give monetary donation, you want to use PayPal, yabarudi@yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, $ ya, the letter M, Barudi, for Cash App. All right, family. Let's get to the Inye, say Sam, of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye, say Sam, of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, family, I'm glad to be back. But my brother held him down, didn't he? Yes, he did. I tell you. June 11th. Ancestral wisdom unraveled, retraced, revived, and resurrected will promote the reacclimation and reascension of our people in Zynga Warfield. We must remember that music has always served a positive, culturally enhancing function for Africans. Throughout our history, it's caused us to perform rituals, festivals, and ceremonies to celebrate our rights and to gather at our holy places to confirm and rejuvenate any neglected connection with our ancestors, guardian deities, and the Creator. It summons us to the village meetings to decide communal issues and to the courts to decide disagreements between individuals. When necessary, it even calls us as community into war with others. We must remember that drums have always been at the center of our music. As the heart, they beat out the time that regulates the pulse of our constant movement toward equilibrium and perfection in spite of the disorder created around us by incomplete beings. As timeless jegnas, the drums toll of our births, lives, deaths, cycles, victories, defeats, and lessons learned. The vibrations that their music gives off nurtures the communion of our community. They mark cadence during the marches. Those who broke from their enslavement made from town to town after victorious revolts. They roll down from our maroon, our quilombos, and outer strongholds, announcing coming war and retaliation. They speak of universal rhythm, of balance, of justice, and order. We have never given up because we know their power, I say. Affirm, I listen to the words of the drum. Affirm, I listen to the words of the drum. June 12th. Upon witnessing the love and admiration that the domesticated creature has for its owner, one would never guess at the history of fear and terrorism that brought the creature to its present state. Brother Roz. If Africans worked as hard on resolving their mental illnesses as they do on their physical ones, we would be well on our way out of this difficulty. Understanding this imbalance approach to curing ourselves is only a matter of grasping the degree of difficulty, the amount of self-sacrifice and protected energy which must be expended to achieve success for either. The former, curing our mental illnesses, requires serious prolonged spiritual work and our historical study, while the latter, curing the physical, only requires the willingness to take Western or herbal medicine, adjust one's diet, and single-mindedly focus on self. Imagine the menticide rationalizing this imbalance, saying that a healthy temple automatically gives consciousness of self. Imagine a physically healthy but menticidal African nation. Yes, that's something I know. Affirm, I take on the greater challenges of warriorhood to deal with that madness. The greater challenges of warriorhood. Brothers and sisters, the Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Oh, family, it's good to be back. Once again, giving much love and praise to Brother Irv for sitting in for me, holding it down, and doing a great job. The Pan-African Federalist Movement was on Time for an Awakening last night with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, and Mama Nabantu's on. Good morning, Mama Nabantu.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing quite well. I'm glad to be back. How you doing?
Oh, we missed you. I'm doing good.
Okay. So how was the program last night on Time for an Awakening?
It was interesting. I ended with having some questions that I need to pursue with Jomai later.
Okay. Jomai, doesn't. Okay. So who was on? Was Brother Mstada on?
Yeah, he was there.
Good.
It was just him and myself. I didn't hear anybody.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just him and you. Okay, that's cool. Well, we need to get you back on this program. You know, I kind of broke from Pan-African Federalist Movement because of me being off and so forth. But I'll be here for quite a while, so we'll schedule up real soon. If not this week, next week for sure.
Yeah, I got somebody in mind.
You do? Great. Good.
Also, you may miss my email about Dr. Uwa, who would be willing to be interviewed about the campaign, presidential campaign in Nigeria.
Okay. Okay.
Give you the update.
Good. Good. I'd like to keep track of what's going on the continent. A lot of it doesn't look good at times. Because number one, they don't accentuate a lot of the positive. But then two, some of the dysfunction, some of the negative is so horrific. It's, you know, what's going on in the Sudan, South Sudan, and just a number of places that you would think that in this day and age, you know, at this time, that we can settle these differences for the benefit of our people. That's why we need, you know, a Pan-African movement on the continent. Because it's not just about, you know, Cameroon or Ghana or Nigeria or Tanzania. It's about the continent. It's about the continent and its resources and us controlling those resources and doing a benefit for our people. Honestly, from what I see, and to me, I am a serious proponent of reparations. But really, if we got into our right minds and kicked all those folks out of Africa and we control that land and those resources, we don't need reparations. We'll have everything that we need. Now, if those who are in the diaspora want to fight for reparations, you go ahead. You go ahead. If those of us who understand the importance of Pan-Africanism and believe in the concept of Pan-Africanism and want to do something on the continent, and we leave, and the other folks want to be here, y'all stay here. Usually the ones that are going to be staying here ain't going to ask for reparations anyways, because they scared. They scared to leave, and they scared to ask for something serious. They just go along to get along, and they just happy to be with white folks in they stuff. You go ahead. You know? Because we're going to go ahead and build for our future, build for eternity, just like we did thousands of years ago. We did it then. We can do it again. I ain't talking about, you know, Mama Nabantu, I ain't talking about building pyramids. We built pyramids. We did a damn good job. They still standing. No doubt about it. But I'm talking about developing the mind that we had then and the cooperation that we had then, you know? And building family and building community. So it is in our power to do so. The question is, just like I emphasized the word will many times, as particularly in my closing, do we have the will to make it happen? I believe that we do, but at this time it doesn't, it's not manifest, you know?
Yeah.
So everything went well last night, huh?
Yeah, it did. I think it was a good discussion, and Jermaine did a good analysis and history of, you know, basically why. I also talked about the difference between a Pan-Africanist and a Pan-African federalist. More about sovereignty and promoting sovereignty than maybe some of the Pan-Africanists. I mean, that seemed to be his definition of the difference between the two.
Right. Because that's, to me, that's what we work towards. Sovereignty. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's the bottom line, you know. It's in, and if we can't have sovereignty, we don't, you know, it's that, that's what we strive for. So it must happen. That's what we strive for, sovereignty. To control our resource, to control our land, to control everything about it without anybody telling us a damn thing about what we do or how we do it. You know? So that's what we striving for. In fact, we're going to do a program once again. I think we need to do that on sovereignty so we can help the brothers and sisters who are listening understand clearly what we are talking about. You know? And the fact that sovereignty for us is just a moment away with the right mindset. With the right mindset. Just a moment away. So, yeah. What's up next? When is the Collard Green Festival?
It's October 7th.
Oh, October. I thought it was next month, August. It's October.
Oh, no, it's not the October.
Okay. Well,
and we're going to the Promised Land. The Promised Land in Gwinnett County. That Gwinnett County tribe.
Okay. That's going to be great. Okay. I say. Okay, Mama Nabantu. Well, listen, I'm going to continue on with this program. You stay listening. If there's anything you want to interject, anything you want to talk about, just go ahead, okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Mama Nabantu.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, they were on Elliot's program last night, the Pan-African Federalist Movement. I forgot to listen. Got tied up. So, anyway, like I said, I truly want to thank Brother Irv for sitting in and doing an outstanding job. Also, I'm going to talk about maybe in the second half of the program, the EDI program, the Executive Development Institute in New Orleans that I go to every year, and talk about that program and its history, because it's interesting of what we do there. And it's something to, you know, hopefully to think about, maybe even to emulate in terms of helping one another, because that's what it's about. Let me get a hold of my brother right now. 443. Good afternoon. Or good morning.
Good morning, Baba Oshie. Thank you for taking my call. Baba Oshie, thank you for the accolades. I am just trying to imitate what you do. I listen intently when you're on the radio, and I think that I don't think you can learn to be a talk show host. I think you have to, either you have it or you don't. The engineer we were talking for this show, I was talking to him about that, and he said I can't do it. And I said, yes, you can, because you know I believe people can do anything they want.
Sure.
But he was absolutely correct. Some people just have a knack for that, and some people don't. You, my brother, you have a knack for this. You can sit here and talk all day long, and interesting talk. Some people are just babbling.
Well, you know,
you're speaking about interesting things.
Well, you know, I guess in my heart and mind, I thought that I did. You know, I kind of, you know, told myself that I could do this. And so, because I've been on radio quite a long time, I started way back, and having the opportunity to be a guest on a number of shows, and then when I retired from the fire service, I did some sitting in for a couple of the brothers that had a talk show on 1290 WMCS, Milwaukee's community station, and then also, too, was prominent on the Every Friday Man Show. So, you know, I had the opportunity to be on radio and to do these things. And then when WMCS went out, and it went out, you know, very strange how it went out on that day. And it's in February, too, after, I think it was a Friday, after a brother named Eric Vaughn, who's an ancestor, good brother, I sat in for him. And he's the one who had the man show and asked me when I was talking, you want to come on? I said, okay. And after his program was over, there was dead air. And, of course, as you know, on radio, there should never be dead air, you know.
Never.
And then once they resumed broadcasting, it wasn't WMCS. It was some other station, and they were playing Elvis Presley music, adding insult to the injury that our community was suffering. Elvis Presley music, man. I can't make this up, man. Yeah,
that is interesting.
Yeah,
and brother, you. I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to say this before you. I don't want to stay on the line, but your show, I hear you telling me that I sat in and I did a pretty good job.
No, brother, you did an excellent job. Thank you.
You do this with such an ease, and maybe it does come from years of practice,
sure.
But you do it with such an ease. I'm going to tell you, I've been on television, I've been in movies, I've done lots of media. But I still get nervous when I do a talk show or anything where I'm speaking to the public, because it's very important to me that I come across as knowing what I'm talking about and also making a difference. I don't agree with everything that everyone says, and neither do you. But it's not about agreeing. It's about letting people have their say. You said
exactly.
Something earlier.
Exactly.
Letting them have their say. You said something about mental illness. Brother, that can't be talked about. You can never talk enough about mental illness, and I'm going to tell you why. Because now the people who are supposed to be the experts appear to have a mental illness themselves. When you have someone who's gone to school for 12 years to learn to be a psychiatrist, to learn to be a psychologist, and they're telling me that I don't see what I see. I don't hear what I hear. It's not something wrong with me, my brother. It's something wrong with
them.
You.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening now. You're telling me that the king has clothes on and the king is naked. He's walking down the street naked. But because you're a psychologist and I should listen to you with all the letters behind your name, and I shouldn't question you, So should we, and we as Africans, we have to start questioning these people, because we're talking about the same people that at one time looked at you as an animal, as chattel, as something to be bought and sold, or something to be sexually perverted upon, you know, because that's what this is all about. It's about perversion in every aspect of this capitalism that we live in under this oppressor. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to leave. And I found this quote in Amos Wilson's book that I noticed that this is practiced throughout all black people. Practice this nonstop. We're taught the practice that the oppressed will cannibalize themselves to feed the insatiable appetite of the oppressor.
Mm.
Come on now.
Mm.
And I noticed that with the sports figures,
yeah.
the Stephen A. Smiths and the Shannon Sharps and all
yeah.
the Roland Martins. He's talking to you. Why are you talking to me like that? Why are you mad and upset with me because you're cannibalizing me? And I am you, brother.
Yeah.
You're not getting mad at me. You're getting mad at yourself.
Self, exactly.
I'm you. And until you realize that I'm you, because you're not treating me bad, you're treating yourself bad. And you're buck dancing to get a job or to get a house or to get a car or whatever you're trying to get from the oppressor. And that's why they're running around here now, because we're cranking up now. Baba Oshi, it's starting to be politics season. They're going to vote. So now you're going to see all the people, the job seekers come out. All the Cornel West is running for president.
Yeah.
Backed by Bernie Sanders and the crew.
Okay.
And they're all starting to put their handkerchiefs on their head, and they start to, and we can call each other names all day long. We can get mad at each other, but that doesn't take us where we want to go. Where we want to go is we want to purge the herd, Brother Oshi. Baba Oshi, I want to be around people of like mind.
Right.
If I can't be, then I'm going to look for them.
Mm.
I'm not trying to, I don't have to make you think like I went to a party this weekend, 57-year-old birthday party, which was an African themed party. I was a judge.
That's
for the best
right.
Dress.
That's right. You told me about, how did that go, man?
Oh man, it was excellent.
You didn't take pictures, but you got pictures, right?
Oh yeah, I got some, but it was excellent, man. The people were great. Everyone except for only about 40, 50 people at the most.
Okay.
They wore African gear, and we judged them on what did they know about the prints that they had on.
Oh, wow.
You know, one guy said it came from Amazon. Of course, he didn't win. The other sister said it came from South Africa. You know, then we had a sister there, and I have her card. They were there. Her and her brother were there, and she has a university named after her in Liberia.
I say, okay.
And oh yeah, that was interesting. I mean, and it was so fantastic to have an African themed party with black people all understanding who they are. And I didn't care what level that you were in your Africanism, if that's a word. But what I cared about is that you understood that you have a connection to the motherland, and you understand that. The only reason you got tennis shoes, the only reason you have cars, and the only reason you live like you live is because Africa is suffering. That's the only reason we live like we live, because they're raping Africa for these raw materials and then telling them that you got to do some global warming. If I do global warming, you won't have all the stuff that you have, because I'll stop burning the coal. I'll stop making the things for you. So, and China gets their raw material from Africa. We all know that everything's made in China. Half the people there had on African clothes with a tag in it. That
yeah,
made
Mama
in China.
Mama Nabantu raised that when we were at the Malcolm X festival. You know, when you see brothers and sisters that do have African clothes on, and a lot of times they're made in China. The clothes itself are made in China, and wouldn't it be great if we said, okay, all clothes that are African will be made in Africa. You know, I have some stuff, a lot of stuff made in Ghana. You know, I've been to Ghana a few times, but there's some other stuff that you buy here. Because here in Atlanta, down the street from where I live, here in the West End, is is aphoristics, and they sell clothes, you know, and beautiful place, a beautiful, a lot of stuff they sell there, and some of the stuff comes from China, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it comes from China.
And it's important that you have an education in who you are so that you know the questions to ask. If you don't ask the question, you're not going to know.
Right.
If you say, well, where was this made at? I mean, white folks got American flags made in China.
Right.
You know, so that's where they are. But that's what they do is not my issue. What they do to us is my issue.
I say.
But we have to ask the question, where was this made at? Where did this come from? Mm. And then that's how you make your decision as to what you buy. Because this white man that we live around or want to marry and want to work with doesn't give a damn about anything other than money. Mm. His God is his money.
Yeah.
The first time you're upset with white people, boycott. When you start to say boycott, that gets their attention. You say fight a white man, and you ain't gonna fight us. I got police and army and National Guard, and we'll put water hoses on you. But you say I'm gonna stop riding the buses in Alabama. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just means you agree. I'm gonna stop riding the buses. I'm gonna stop going to Target because you have a bathing suit for children that they can tuck their penis up under them. I'm not
That's
going
crazy.
There no more.
That's crazy.
Come on now. Yeah. Come on. This is real. I saw the line, stop me.
Yeah.
I'm not going there no more because as soon as I come in the door, I'm seeing this big rainbow and this pride thing. I'm not going there no more. And it's just me. Mm-hmm. But there are millions of people that think just like I do. And when you stop putting your money behind something, it doesn't exist anymore. That's how it works. And wait, really quickly, Ocean, I'm going to stop after this. A guy did something on the internet that was just so amazing to me. And I think we need to understand that as a people. He took a $20 bill and he held it up to his class. Anybody want this $20 bill? Everybody raised their hand. This is in college. They all raised their hand. He took the ball. He said, wait a minute. He balled it up. He said, does anybody want this $20 bill? Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. So he took it and he took the $20 bill and he put it on the floor and he stomped on it. And he stomped on it 3-4 times and he picked it up. Does anybody still want this $20 bill? And everybody said, yeah, I want that $20 bill. And he said, that's you. When this world stomps you and tell you you're ugly, that you got nappy hair, that your skin is too dark, and you one of them N-words, and you come from Africa, you're still worth everything you were before they said that. They cannot. You are African. Mm-hmm. You cannot. You are like, you can. We've been through 400 years of Jim Crow redlining. You can't stop us.
Right.
We are unstoppable. We are so powerful. We are a powerful people who taught the world how to be strong, taught the world how to the cook and plumbing and the pyramid still ain't figured that out. So know this, my brother, no matter what these Rugu does to you, you are strong. African brothers and sisters, don't let this man-made religious turn you into a sheep. You're my I'm your shepherd. No, you're not. Be strong. Be who you are. Learn your history. Know who you are, because God made you individually. That means that you are unique. It doesn't mean that you are rugged. You're a rugged individual. It just means you're unique. You bring something to the tribe. Mm-hmm. The word tribe means a group. There's a bunch of us. We walk in lockstep. I am my brother's keeper. And I don't mean this ain't it's just a thought, mm-hmm. not a sermon. I don't want to preach to you, but I do want you to know that you are special. You're African inside and out. Even if you've never been to Africa, Africa's in you. I say.
Right on.
I'm going to stop right there.
All right, brother. Put you on hold. Thank you so much once again.
I love you, man.
Love you too,
dude. Get some other callers.
All right, peace. Yeah, man. It's my brother, man. Did an outstanding job. Always raising good points. We're going to be coming up on the top of the hour real soon and play a little music. When we come back, we'll talk about the week I had in Nawlins at the Executive Development Institute. And why it's important, And then we'll take phone calls from you, see how you doing, see what's happening with you, and all of that stuff. So, you know, going to have a good day today. And I hope you can continue to listen. I got some good questions. Hope there's things that are on your mind. I know this is June, and I know this weekend it's going to be Juneteenth Day, although Juneteenth Day itself is next Monday, and we'll be talking about that. And we'll talk a little bit about that on Friday, too, because the Juneteenth Day celebrations will be this weekend, Friday, Saturday, except in Milwaukee, they happen on the day of June 19th. Milwaukee started having Juneteenth Day on June 19th, and they continue to do so, and I got to give them much love for that, because I'm down with that. Just like African Liberation Day is the 25th. I want that day to be special, that on the 25th of May, we celebrate African liberation. I don't give a damn what day of the week it is. We celebrate it. In fact, I'm going to pose a question to the community of the days that we have of celebration of Juneteenth, Kwanzaa, Malcolm X Festival, all these celebrations of, you know, what's most important and why? You know? What's most important and why? Because to me, the most important commemoration is African Liberation Day. Because the bottom line is we need Africa liberated. We need Africa sovereign. We need Africans controlling Africa. And I'm talking about Africans who understand who we are. I ain't talking about Africans who've been manipulated by Europeans, who do the bidding of Europeans, neo-colonialists. I'm talking about Africans who have their right minds and understand. And see, to me, the Negroes in the OAU, when they became the AU, changed African Liberation Day to Africa Day. Africa Day. That ain't I am still so angry about that. And that's why, to me, you know, we confront them with that and we change it back to what it is. Because Africa must be liberated. When Kwame Nkrumah and those brothers and all those men started it back in the 60s, they understood clearly. Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, so many, Sheikh Anta Diop, all those men who understood the importance of a liberated, sovereign Africa, men and women. They didn't want no crackers nowhere, especially telling us what to do and especially taking our resources that they have done for centuries now, centuries, family. And yet Africa still has more resources than anywhere else on the planet. Anywhere else on the planet. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more discussion. We'll talk about my week in Dillard University in New Orleans and open up the lines for you. Anything you want to talk about? What's on your mind? Brothers and sisters, listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Glad you're out there. Glad you're with me. Yeah. Talk about for a moment the Executive Development Training Institute, EDI. It started, you know, if you don't know, now you know, that the fire service is one of the most racist occupations there is, still to this day, because of the unique working arrangements. You live in a firehouse. You know, you eat there, you sleep there, you do a shift. Sometimes some schedules are 10 and 14, you know, 14 during the day and then 10 at night, into the night. Some are 24, 48, one on, two off. Some are one on, one off, one on, one off, and then 4 days off. All kinds of schedules. But basically, living in the firehouse. And Caucasians did not want us living in a firehouse with them. Affirmative action had to be instituted because the fire service is, you know, my good friend, he doesn't like when I say this. It's a public works job. And it is. It is. The taxes of the citizens pay for that service. The police department, the fire department, teachers, sanitation, anything that the public gets paid from by taxpayer dollars, public works, you know? And so the police departments, they started integrating police departments, particularly because they didn't want to. Caucasians did not want to police our community. So as in the North and other places, communities started growing and getting bigger in the 50s, 60s, they started hiring police officers that can only work in the community. It's just like, I don't know if you saw the movie Harlem Nights, you know, with the great comedic greats of Red Fox, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, so many others, Robin Harris, there were so many others, but there's that one scene where the Caucasian is with, you know, the sister, Sunshine, and she's a heroin dealer. I didn't know you was Miss Heroin, you know. And there's her bag that she has, which is filled not with heroin, but with sugar. And then the bag that he has, which is filled with the money. And so Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor, they're dressed as cops, pretending to be cops, because they figure out a way to, they had one of their brothers change the light, and they had a little accident there, and then they take the money. And then, of course, two Caucasian cops come up, you know. Oh, you're coming, one of some of Canton's boys, yeah, yeah. Well, you hear me, let me take that from you, and we'll handle it from there. See, so when the white cop come in, they're going to handle it because it's another Caucasian. And this is really historic, honestly. And so that's how it has been, you know. But the fire department, no matter what community was in was not, it wasn't like, except that when there were a number of us who were firefighters, we would be in our community. It's the Black Firehouse. I know one person who, Brother Brent Burton, who I had a, who I tag team with him and Brother Yusuf Muhammad, on the first day of class at EDI, Dr. Carl Homer's Executive Development Institute. We give a class. I do the class on our history, ancient African history. It says the foundation. Brent Burton talked about, and he developed a historical piece on Dr. Carl Holmes, which I think was outstanding and necessary. Because really, some of the students that come there, you know, they heard and they know that it's named in his honor and so forth, and but they really don't know who he is and what he truly has done. And so Brent put together a nice PowerPoint piece on that. And of course, he also does the museum in L.A. It's probably the best firefighter, American African firefighter museum in L.A. Another brother out east in Baltimore, he's been trying to get it together for many, many years. You know, he has a lot of access to memorabilia, because I know Brother Bent was saying he got so much stuff still. But, you know, I know Wisconsin Black Historical Society in Milwaukee, you know, they have a display of African-American firefighters since affirmative action. Affirmative action started to happen in the 70s. In the 70s, they realized that many American Africans were excluded from the occupation. Racism was rampant, as it has been and continues to be. And so they put in these affirmative action programs. So the hiring, so you may hire three Caucasians, you may, and two of those three, you may hire two American Africans or Latinos or Asians or women as minorities. Yes, exactly. There's more Caucasian women than anything, but of course they were not as on the job, so they considered that a minority hire, you know. And so not only were we not coming on the job, but we were also not getting into the National Fire Academy, which is in the Maryland area, National Fire Academy, because of how they were selecting. You know, somebody on your particular department had to, select you and sign your papers, and you get to get a chance to go to the National Fire Service, National Fire Academy in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And, you know, and of course, if you did that, you were able to get, you were able to get opportunities on your job, particularly as it relates to promotions, because you have the certifications, the additional training, information, and so forth. So we were unable to get into the net. So we created our own. And to me, that's what you should do. Create your own. You know? And so what we did is that a brother named Carl Holmes, Dr. Carl Holmes out of Oklahoma City, very tough brother, big daddy. This is a tough brother. He, very intelligent brother. In fact, he wrote some of the manuals that they used at the National Fire Academy. And he was well aware that we were not going out there. So he, along with some other brothers that I know, you know, the brother who I was a vice president to, Brother Romeo Spalding out of D.C., you know, Brother John Nelson out of Florida, Brother Oscar Brennan out of Florida, later chief of Alabama. And they all got together with a number of others. My good brother, my good friend, Brother Ray Brooks, Brother Metro Ray, because Ray was a chief of so many fire departments. And they got together and they created the program. the Executive Development Institute. And Romeo, as president, decided to, because of Carl's input, name the program after him, the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, you know. And so the first, we had it on a HCBU. We had it at FAMU. It's a 5-year program, one week, 5 years. And then you get your certificate and you have access to promotional opportunities. It is tremendous. This program works. 32 years it's been in existence. I've been involved 30 years. To sisters who have been promoted to chiefs of departments, to brothers who've been promoted. In fact, in New Orleans, we had our convention. And this was 94. This was 1994. And the National Fire Academy and the U.S. Fire Administration came to New Orleans to buy our program. I've never been more proud of us than in that moment. Because we ain't got no money. We ain't never had no money. And still ain't got no money. Because everybody who's associated with the Institute is volunteer. Nobody gets paid. We're all volunteers. All the chiefs of departments and captains and lieutenants and deputy assistants and whatever else, we all volunteer. Nobody gets paid, and all the money goes into the program to help make it better for the brothers and sisters that come from across the country and around the world. We had two brothers and a sister from Ghana, brother from the Caribbean, you know, because it's great information. It's beautiful camaraderie. It's tremendous. In fact, we know that it could work and that it is working early on. A brother named Mike Smith, who was on the San Jose Fire Department, he became the chief, the top person of Fresno, California's fire department. And then there were so many. I'm not saying that every brother and sister that ascended to that position went to EDI, but a lot of them did. And the ones that did, they understood in their position, at least I hope they did, how they administered, how they performed as a chief with some compassion, some understanding, and motivating their other firefighters to do likewise. Motivated them to go to EDI. So, yeah, great program. One week on the campus. So after we were at FAMU in Tallahassee, at the end of the 5 years of the first graduates, then we moved to Dillard University in New Orleans. I can remember first getting there. Man, the food was outstanding. Yeah. And it was going to be an issue if I was, you know, because, you know, you got Bourbon Street. Bourbon Street never closes. You know, you got all kinds of action that's happening in and around New Orleans. You know, but we didn't run into much of that because brothers and sisters understood that there was something that we were offering that they needed if they wanted to access and compete with the Caucasians, who sometimes had all the information beforehand. It's just like when I was on Milwaukee Fire Department, the Fire and Police Commission and the local union, 215, they shared information with them. And so the union people got jobs. They got promotions. Yeah. So considering all of those things, we had this program, and man, we made a serious impact. Unfortunately, we made a serious impact on a promotional level, but not on the entry level. on the entry level, brothers and sisters, is not good. It's not good. Some of our departments, Milwaukee's, less than 10%, but yet we're over 40% of the population. Remember what I stated earlier. The citizens of that municipality or that city, town, they pay the salaries of the firefighters. Should they not look like the city? Should not the fire department kind of look like the city it serves? Shouldn't there be more brothers and sisters, more people of so-called of color? Chicago at one time, Philadelphia at one time had the most brothers and sisters. And then Chicago, because Chicago had a strike. And they had a whole bunch of hires. Chicago's number of brothers and sisters then became over 1,000. You know where they are now? 300. A lot of them lost their jobs because of drugs. A lot of them lost, a lot of them retired. And they weren't hiring. 300. New York, because of 9/11, New York showed how pathetic it is, how bad it is. Out of the 12,000 firefighters in the city of New York, they only had 300. Out of the 343 that died, that were killed by this government in 9/11, only 12 was us. Great documentary, All Our Sons, narrated by Alfre Woodard. Great documentary, All Our Sons. And that helped Brother Paul Washington and the Vulcan Society from, you know, having some strength in their lawsuit against the city of New York. But that's what you got to do within the fire service, particularly. I'm not speaking about other occupations, other jobs. Of course, there might be some issues there as well, but I do know what had happened in the fire service. And so, yeah. So EDI was created and it began to grow. We moved to New Orleans. And of course, Katrina hit. When Katrina hit, we moved to Atlanta for about 4 or 5 years at Clark College on the campus of Atlanta. And then we moved back to New Orleans. And where we've been, and based upon the president, sister name is, last name is Ford, President Ford of Dillard University, even the previous presidents, they love us being there. We, you know, we start right after the young people are out of school. It's the end of June. So that first week, end of May. So that first week of June, we occupied a campus, you know, and I tell you, you know, they love us there, and we love being there. In fact, they're going to develop an alumni, EDI alumni piece there. They're planning to do some things. The president is so welcoming of the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, but when the pandemic hit, it really devastated the institution EDI, and we were not happening for 2 years, and then when we returned last year, fortunately the Mod 1, the first year class, came in strong. If they would have came in not so good, I'd say 30 or under, we would have lost a lot of money. We would have lost a lot of money. And this year, they had 88 first-year students and over 50 second-year students. Mod 3, well, they started growing because they started out with 10, only 10, and I think they wound up with 20. And the graduating class was like 25, you know. So we'll see. I mean, when we first moved to Dillard, our numbers were we would have over 400 students on that campus. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the Executive Development Institute, and no other occupation does what we do, train our members for upper mobility. The brothers and sisters who are chiefs, deputy chiefs, district chiefs, assistant chiefs, captains, lieutenants, firefighters, we all come back to give support and lend our expertise to those young men and women who go to EDI so they can access upper mobility in their particular jobs, or be able to be so good that they can go to another department and become a chief officer. All those things are there. So hopefully that when you hear the fire department is hiring in your particular city, hopefully if your city has a sizable number of American Africans, that they're applying. That they're applying for the job. Yeah. So we got a number of callers. We don't have to talk about this. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I just want to make sure that you understood what I was up to hanging out in Nolens. You know, in fact, I don't even leave the campus, man. I've been there, done that. Went to Mardi Gras about 20-some years ago. So, I get there. I get on campus. Everything is right there. You know, me and brother Brent Burton from L.A., we go out on Wednesday, go to a restaurant, sit down, and go to a few other places. But other than that, man, I just, and then can't wait till Saturday so I can come home. Especially this year, they had problems with regulating that air conditioning, man. In the auditorium, man, you're going to hang meat up in that mug. It's like, man. And then but it was beautiful. It's a great experience. Great experience. A lot of guys come back and share information to prepare the upcoming people. My nephew, he's going to be a great candidate, man. He is sharp. I'm so impressed with him, so proud of him. And this is his second year. Him and another brother whose father's on the fire department, you know. And I'm expecting in the years to come some good things to come from him and many others that I've talked to or come and sit down and talk with me at night and whatever. Yeah, because that's the thing about that, you know, at night, those brothers are there. Those brothers and sisters are there. You have access to them. If you have questions or comments, concerns about what is being taught, or you just have some questions yourself, you can approach them. They're there on campus with you. That's another unique thing. They're not above you. They're not isolated. They're there. They're with you. They stay in the same dorms you do. They stay in the same dorms, you know? So, yeah. EDI, once again, Executive Development Institute. We're the only group of people who train our members for upper mobility. Yep. 202. Good afternoon.
Hey, Ochi, it's great to hear from you, man.
How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you very well, my brother. How you doing?
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm doing good, man. You know, you can tell we're getting older because you're talking about stuff that happened in the past, and I do that often. You know, how things were.
Yeah.
You know, and experiences that we had that made us be the people that we evolved into, you know.
Exactly.
And those are refreshing things, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Sir?
Those are the things
that shaped
us. No,
I was only going to say, but well, what it does, though, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'm not saying that you do this, but a lot of people that are our age and close to it don't realize that we're not going to spend nearly as much time to get where we are in the future. I mean, we're leaving here pretty soon.
Right.
Know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's just a fact.
Right. We have more years behind us than we have ahead of us. Therefore, use that time wisely.
That's right. That's the way they put it, man.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, OC, I'm just so concerned that so many people that are behind us don't I won't say they will accept it, but consider the fact, the importance of having your own. And that goes from everything from family to country.
I say, I agree. I agree with you, man. I agree with you.
Yeah. So I'm saying that to say that so many people and people our age and a few older and many younger don't have any aspiration to have their own. You know, when I was a bit younger, I was involved in the Nation, and I still have that idea that we gotta, and not for the religious purpose, that's a personal choice. Whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, or agnostic, it really doesn't matter. Because they can live next door to you in the same house if necessary, and have the same aspiration for the future, for the present and the future. We can't do anything about the past, as you know. But I'm telling you, I'm concerned that so many of our people that are younger have no real drive to have their own nation. That's what captivated me, because I spent a lot of time in the libraries when I was young. I used to skip school, man, and go to the library, and I got in trouble for it, but I would do it 1,000 times, because I would go in class sometimes and the teacher would say things and I would tell her she's wrong and prove it to them. And you know, facts speak louder than words, you know, or indoctrination, I should say.
Right.
And we are not citizens of this country. That's something that is hard for us to accept.
Right.
But we are not citizens of this culture. We think in terms of the law, which we didn't write. We think in terms of the society, which we didn't build, nor do we operate it. And we think that we have some right to be treated fairly when we don't have the power. And in that's a multifaceted phrase. But we don't have the power to enforce our will. You know, sometimes, man, you know, the U.S. shows you what power is. They go in with guns blazing.
Yeah.
Got nuclear weapons.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and they got the threat, and if you don't do what we say, we will kill you. Mm-hmm. That's how they operate.
Yeah.
But we have never, that's one aspect of being in this culture that we have not understood the value of. And since none of us are going to live forever, Oshi, you know, I can't think of a more admirable way than to die in pursuit of bringing about real justice. I'm not talking about no legislation and pass this amendment and this. You know, they killed so many of our people. It's like playing chess, brother. You know, when we play chess, and I don't know if you do or not, but one of the objects is to balance out the attack.
Some people got to be sacrificed. Some pieces got to be sacrificed.
Yeah, even if you don't have a absolutely formidable plan, the object, and I was taught this a long time ago, is to balance the attack. If they take your rook, you get their rook. If they take your bishop, you get their bishop.
Yeah.
If they take your pawns, you get theirs. And the object is to win the game.
Right.
You know, sometimes you can win a chess game having fewer pieces than your opponent if you're smarter than them. Or it doesn't really have to do with intelligence as much as just the paying attention to what's happening around you.
Right.
And I'm gonna say this, you know, we when I say we, I mean collectively, have no idea that we're not even citizens of this country. So we can't expect these people to treat us right. They don't have any history, first of all, of ever treating anybody right.
They don't
have a
history.
It's terrible.
Everywhere they went, man. Everywhere they
They're like AIDS, man. Mm-hmm. Everywhere they've gone, they kill populations for their own benefit.
Yep.
That's what Caucasians do. White people do. I mean, there's some white people that are slightly different.
Yeah.
But there's reasons that they're different. We have been a formidable opponent to these people since they brought our ancestors over here. First thing they did was made us learn their language.
Right.
So they always knew what we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you know that somebody is getting ready to make a move on King Four, you can always set up a good defense for it. But they made us learn this language. They made us think in this language. We're talking in their language right now. They're listening, you know, into AI right now to our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are these people? You know, they know us better than we know ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's a damn shame, man, because God didn't create us.
Because they programmed us. Because they programmed us.
Exactly. And everybody tries to use their technique or their language. And this is something I'm convinced about. I'm not going to hold you a long time, man. I just appreciate being able to talk to another intelligent person in the course of a day, man.
I hear you.
If we don't, and I say this all the time, and I believe it. I mean, somebody got to prove me wrong because history proves me right. If we don't develop our own method of communication that does not include them, we lost. We've lost. It's like playing a chess game and you start out with two rooks missing.
Yep.
You can't know when, if the person just plays what you play, they're going to win. Because everything we say and do is done in a way that they know exactly what we're planning.
Right.
I hear people come with magnificent ideas, but they talking on the radio. Who wants the radio? You know, you think people at the Pentagon and the NSA and the CIA don't listen to your station?
Everything is monitored. Everything. Anything that you have done that has been deemed subversive, you are going to be...
Yes.
Yes, believe me.
Well, you don't even have to be subversive. They sit and listen. They got AI nowadays that knows your voice, my voice. And so when we say something in a public using their methods and their media, they know exactly not only who it is, but what they're saying, who else is listening to it. This is how surveillance, it's like the old slave master used to sit outside of the slave cabin.
Right, and listen.
And listen to what the slaves were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come out with these wonderful plans and ideas, he already had a defense for that.
Or he had an overseer or some Negro who were listening on the plans. Yeah.
That's exactly right. You know, so, I mean, we in a situation, man, and I don't know, honestly, brother, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know that we can get out of it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well,
It's like the marshal's coming to your house, you know, with the eviction notice, and you finally got the money, but he's there to do a job. He don't even care about the money now.
Right.
That's kind of the situation we in, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think we missed our opportunity.
I hear you. We have.
I think we missed our opportunity when we didn't follow people like Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, and Elijah Muhammad, and Malcolm X was sent to warn us about what we were faced. And we wanted to be a part. We wanted integration.
Right.
What the hell is that?
Well, it's easier. It's easier. The struggle, and we acquiesce to this kind of system out of fear. Because we know, you know, they have killed us. They have lynched us, you know. And so we thought that maybe we can appeal to these people's moral nature. They are amoral. They have no moral nature. They have no moral nature. These are some evil-ass people, you know.
And they will
do whatever it takes to maintain their position of dominance and control. And if it means eliminating you or destroying your community, just like, you know, the takeover in some communities that are happening through gentrification, moving you out.
Right.
And they're coming in, going closer to the so-called central city, closer to downtown, you know, all this. They do what the hell they want to do. But our problem is that we don't understand. Let them do what they want to do. Let us get up out of this madness. Let us come together.
That's what I say.
You know, believe me, there's plenty of land in Africa. And not only that, there's plenty of land and Africans that would be willing to work with us in developing Africa for Africans.
Well, Oshi, we don't have a lot of time, brother.
Yeah.
Like 11:59 on the 12 o'clock. You know, that's where we at, man.
Yeah.
And so I pray that people understand. I don't know how it can happen. I know that when a black man puts his will to something, it's almost impossible to stop him. But you got to get him pointed in the right direction. And I'm concerned because we're going to lose a lot of people with what they got planned for our future in the next 3-4 years.
Yeah.
These diseases and shit, these diseases and things, these are not natural diseases. They concocted this crap in test tubes to get genocide against the black population or the non-white population. You know, it's not just black.
One of the leaks that came out many years ago was the development of the AIDS virus. in Fort Detrick, Maryland, that so many people had talked about, and finally you had people coming on Montel Williams' show, who had showed at that time in the 80s, as well as Phil Donahue, Dr. Eric Stryker, who talked about how this stuff was developed. A brother named Zara Miles, who unfortunately was, I believe, was murdered, you know. And they talked about how this thing developed. And, of course, what's his name was in the midst of that, too, Fauci. In fact, Fauci was adamant that it was not developed. That's why I had no credibility. Fauci, with me, had no credibility because he was a lying asshole from Jump Street, you know, talking about it was not done this way, that some African green monkey thing or something like that. No, it was a virus that was developed and then put on African people, put on the gay community and so forth in this country and in Europe, you know. And, of course, the virus was taking people out left and right, just like this virus has done, such as COVID has done, or the coronavirus. Yeah. You know, has done. And so you're right. There's going to be other things that are going to be coming at us as well. There's definitely going to be, when you had Bill Gates, who's adamant about population control, and there's others who are adamant about population control, you know, and that's particularly there. The only population that Caucasians want to control is everybody who are outside of them, because they are losing population. They have been and will continue to be the so-called minority in the world in terms of population, but yet they control damn near everything. You know?
Yeah. Oh, see, I certainly agree with you, brother. I'm believe it or not, I'm on the road and I got to take care of something. But carry on, brother, and may the power be with you. That's right all on. I got to say. I appreciate you.
Brother Rick, thank you, dear brother. You be safe out there. Talk to you soon. I'll be on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
All right. 646-646. Good afternoon.
ODO, you back on the scene, huh?
I'm back on the scene with the gangster lean. What's up?
No, you keep on going, and Irv gonna take your job from you. You know you can't give a black man the opportunity without him taking your job with an extended period of leaving the people.
Hey, I tell you, he did a good job. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, he did a good job, a very good job. I listened to him.
I got to give Irv his props.
Thank you.
Because every time he comes on, man, he educate and enlighten him, brother. And that's all we could. That's all we could ask for at this stage of the game.
Exactly.
You know, but did you enjoy your trip?
Oh, man, it's fantastic. Well, you know, like I said, I go there specifically to be at Dillard University in the program, the Executive Development Institute program. I really don't go out that much or don't go hardly at all. I'm there, and whatever I can do to help the program, that's what I do. You know, I do.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I hope that the young people come and talk to you and ask for your guidance.
Oh yeah, I hold a little court of a few young brothers and sisters, you know, and I talk about that, the history, our history, and the history of us in the fire service and so forth. Why the program is necessary, and what it can do for them and their promotional potential.
Okay.
Because that's obvious, man. I mean, the program has done outstanding. Like I said, I think the only thing that I have a problem with is the fact that we've dealt with the upper mobility. There's a many brothers and sisters who are chiefs of department, who are chiefs or commissioners, or who are deputies or assistant chiefs, captains, lieutenants. But the issue is us coming on the job. There are the numbers of us coming on have dwindled. You know, the overall numbers of us are just pathetic in some departments. In fact, I need to look at and find out in various major city departments where a good majority of us live, like Chicago. Chicago's just 10%. 10% African Americans on Chicago's fire department. Us is 8% Milwaukee. You know?
Are you serious?
I'm dead 10%? Serious. 10%, yes. I'm dead serious. You know? I mean, look at New York. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, it was the 9/11 situation that pointed out how pathetic New York was, how racist New York was. New York was adamant about not hiring us. You know, you have 12,000 firefighters, only 300 some of us. But even at the incident of 9/11, you know, you had 343 firefighters who died, but only 12 of us, you know. And so Brother Paul Washington, who was the president at that time of the Vulcan Society of New York, they got together and they put in a lawsuit based upon all that good information. And, of course, they won, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they deserve to win that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right. You know, the bottom line is we're in a situation to whereby you have to sue these devils.
You do.
It looks like
you
in
do.
every discipline where white folks are the dominant force,
right,
because they don't play fair.
No.
It's like, you know, the thing that always amazed me was how culturally biased the tests was. That's mm-hmm. what the Vulcans fought so hard for in New York. It was just a culturally biased test. And, you know, a white man never want to believe in cultural bias. You know, that's just, they just try to label you as dumb
right.
or, you know, things of that nature.
Right.
But the funny thing is, there's always a difference between educational situation. I mean, you have these private European schools that don't teach the same thing that they teach in public schools.
Oh, that's for sure.
I mean, I remember one of my favorite movies of all time, Finding Foster. That showed the perfect example of what you learn in the public school and what you learn in the private school. Just the reading curriculum alone
mm-hmm. right.
speaks volumes. I mean, the things that they read, the so-called classics, it's like, you know, let's compare the reading list that Barbara Baruti would put forward in his school and the reading list that some prestigious European school would put forward. I mean,
right.
And this was something that Dr. Clark told us always, that you have to read white history just as much as you read African history so that you could understand and compare the lines.
Right.
People don't understand that. You got to be well versed in the literary writings of this cracker, because this cracker done put forward his own imaginary system, understanding, and all of those things. So, I mean, man, it's just beautiful that you were there to share with those young people. Now, let me ask you this. Do any crackers show up?
No. There have been.
Thank God.
But there hasn't been any Caucasians in quite a few years. What happened?
No crackers show up.
Right. The reason why they're
dead. Praise sweet Jesus.
I know. I
no
love that.
No crackers.
But a few did about 15, 20 years ago when there became a division between the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters and the Executive Development Institute. The two heads, both with the last name of Holmes, were at each other, and then the split happened, and then there was no, because used to be you were required to be a member of the IABPFF. You if you were not into a local chapter. If you were, your chapter president had to sign your application for EDI and your regional director. But if you didn't have a local chapter, then you had to be a member on the regional level, and your regional director had to sign your application for admittance into the. But then once that happened, that was no more. You could just fill out an application, put your money down, and come on in. And so there were some Caucasian and some Babalooies, the Hispanic Association of Black, the Hispanic Association of Firefighters. They also came, especially,
you know,
especially
Baba,
East Coast Puerto Ricans.
A Babalooie about to become your new slave master. So you better start taking Baba very serious, man, because I don't know if you've heard, in Florida, they got some real problems about to face. And I mean, we're going to suffer for it too, because, you know, I'm an orange man. I love oranges.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my favorite other than watermelon. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the thing is that because of all of these crazy things that DeSantis has done.
Yeah. Man.
The Babalooie is not coming there.
No.
So that means there's going to be crops that, because the Babalooie ain't coming to pick those crops.
Right. They're going to have to destroy them.
You know what I'm
saying? And not only that, not only the crops, but housing. Because you have a certain amount of labor, general labor, that the Latinos, and particularly Puerto Ricans and so forth, were doing that is not being done. And so a lot of those houses are not being enclosed. And so they're being water damaged, mold, and all kinds of other stuff, man, that is happening. So in Southern Florida, it's happening. And that's Ron DeSantis for you.
But you know something? This is the thing that annoys me is the media don't put forward the narrative, but they want to talk 24 hours a day about this goddamn Alfredo Trump. They want to talk about him being indicted and all of this other bullshit. But the reality is, there's things that the most wicked is doing and causing problems that nobody's pointing out. I'd be very, very honest with you. I would rather have DeSantis out of office and Donald Trump back in before I would ever want DeSantis in office, because you already know what you're going to get with Trump. You know what I'm saying? But this DeSantis is one of the most destabilizing human beings on the planet.
Yeah. Banning books and all kind of stuff. But listen, let me catch another couple of calls there, Jay.
Go ahead, man. Put me on hold.
All right, dear brother. Appreciate you, man.
Hotep.
Oh, man. My brother Paul just hung up. Okay. Let me go to 443. 443. Good afternoon. Brother Irv. Okay. Well, we're winding down anyway. And thankful all of the people who called and those who listened. You know, just as the brother told me, you'd be surprised who's listening. I said, I would be. And I'm happy for that. And I'm quite sure for even those agent provocateurs who are listening, or, you know, because they're all listening. But I appreciate it, and I really do. And I look forward to Wednesday. Every day, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that we can come on the airwaves and discuss issues that are happening within our communities, you know. But one of the things that I'm adamant about, and I don't talk too much about the politics of this society, and none of that, because I'm more adamant about Pan-Africanism. I'm more adamant about Africa being in control by Africans. The land, the resources, the people. I'm more interested in Africans developing on the continent systems of of rail systems, transportation systems, sewage systems, schools, hospitals, ports. I'm interested in those things happening for African people. Africans got jobs, and Africans, you know, cities are starting to develop, towns are starting to develop, areas where they live, and they change the way that they live. And even for Africans who don't want to live that way, we'll make it better for them to live the way they want to live. If they want to live in a mud hut and pound out fufu, we'll make that happen. Because the bottom line is, we want to develop a society where we all can live and love freely in. And we can only do that with each other. We cannot do that here. We can't do it here. Even the African communities are not sovereign that are here. They have to pay taxes. They have to pay for water. They have to pay for other things. This is America. And even Caucasians, like those Caucasians that went up in the Northwest, wound up having a shootout. And the authorities were very patient with them. I know they wouldn't be very patient with us. Until finally, you know, they had to bum rush them, just like they did David Koresh and so forth. There we go. Here's Brother Paul. Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi. How are you?
I'm well, man. Thank you, man. Thanks for calling in. And when Brother Irv was in, man, good dialogue, Paul. Outstanding, man.
Well, you know, Baba Ochi, you know, congratulations to Brother Irv and to yourself and to Brother Elliot and all you on this platform, because the reality of it is without each one of you's effort, and that goes to, because before I was listening to Time for Waking, I was listening to Black Talk Radio, and I listened to a lot of the stuff on Scotty Reed and the various platforms, and I listened to him tell his life story. He was in the Army and the Navy and so on and so forth. I think he's the same age as me.
Okay. But,
so it was very interesting, and I've learned a lot from the platform, from your efforts on the platform. You're outstanding, Baba Ochi. You're outstanding for so many reasons, and I have to reiterate them. You're outstanding because you do what you say, and you personify the things you talk about. And I know that without even meeting you, because I know you're still helping our people. You're retired, and you've not given up. You've not just taken the money and gone sat on the beach and drink whiskey and rum and whatever.
But
I really admire that, because that to me, I've not reached that stage of my life, but that to me is how I see my life. I can't see my life. If I have 30 million, 50 million, I can't see my life sitting down and relying on my laurels. I have to do,
right,
to raise up our people.
Well, you're committed. You're committed to that, like I'm committed to it too. So it's not that I'm committed up to a certain age. No, I'm committed for the rest of my life. I want to see
absolutely.
Us.
So, and I can see that. I can see that. And you do another thing which I admire. You bring in other people. You bring them in. You're not frightened. Sure. A great deal of us are frightened to give someone else pass over the baton or hand somebody or bring some. You know, Baba Ochi, I'll be honest with you, man. In my experience, I hear people talk a good show. I hear all the doom and gloom a lot of people want to personify. But in reality, it's their actions what count. What they do what matters. To me, that's my book.
Because
I hear, you know, people say a lot of things. They give even the impression that, you know, and some of them are quite educated, I'm telling you. But, you know, it's what they do. And I see you doing much. And, you know, Brother Erg, you're passing the baton.
Right. I appreciate it, Brother Paul. I'm up against the time, man. I appreciate it. I wish I could have let you in earlier when you had called.
No, Baba. You know? I think I dropped out. But the reality of it is you just keep doing what we're doing. You know, we do what we do with the tools we got to do.
That's right.
That's what matters.
And that's what matters. Well, we have. Exactly. All right, Brother Paul. Thank you so much, man. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you guys on Wednesday, family. I really do. Hope to get a chance to see you on Wednesday. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. B-B-48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.